Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Bank Marketing Show. I'm Dan, and I've got Chris here with me. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Dan?
It's good. That's good. Right. Today, we're going to continue the Major Marketing Challenge series that we started last time and talk a little about proactive versus reactive marketing. And I know we talked a lot of banks that feel they're very reactive, or, you know, a lot of their marketing is driven by, say, executive decree. You know, the president comes and says, we need this. We need more loans. Go get more loans. And we want to kind of talk about planning and how to make that a little bit more proactive.
You know, you and I were talking about this beforehand, Dan. We're all so busy. I mean, it's a fast moving world, and everybody in professional environments and banks and all of that pulled in so many different directions and 112 emails a day and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And I think the core of what this issue is about that you and I were saying is getting the most out of your marketing. You know, because it's being reactive because I've got an ad due Monday and here it is on Friday and I don't have time, you know, just those kind of things that we'll talk more through and kind of list out issues that we think lots of our listeners are going to be able to relate to. And then we'll talk about solutions. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's such a common thing. And, you know, you can have great elements of your marketing, or maybe even a really good website or, you know, digital ad strategy or something. But if it's not well planned out and implemented proactively, you're not getting the money back for your butt.
You perpetuate a cycle, right? Of, oh my gosh, we need to go out and find some loans or find some deposits. And so you go out and you scramble, right? And you're not maybe not thinking through the details as much, or you're hoping to kind of throw money at the problem. And, you know, that money goes to a Google Ads budget or something like that, and you don't get much out of it because you haven't, you know, you're rushing and you haven't thought through the steps. Your landing page is bad or doesn't look good on mobile. And, you know, maybe people are clicking, but you're not seeing the conversions. You're not seeing the actual loans open up or the actual deposits come in. And, you know, then the cycle continues and your, you know, bank leadership says, like, well, we spent X thousand dollars on this thing. We got nothing. So we're not going to do that again.
Right.
And, you know, you never get out of that cycle. But if, you know, by planning a little bit, you can have some contingencies, you can have some messaging ready to go. And when something happens, it's not not a rush.
That's right. Well, so Dan, you and I had listed out and kind of looked at what we saw as some of the key issues in this area, and again, being reactive and not getting the most mileage out of your marketing. So let's look at some of those. I know one of them was kind of under the umbrella of being responsive and reactive to sometimes maybe minor market or environment issues rather than staying on your plan. Staying on your strategy, or not having one, you know, in the first place or whatever. So it's easy to, you know, I think I commented to you, it's kind of, you're not being a master of your own destiny. You're kind of being blown around wherever the wind blows you. And that's not a good place to be affected by, you know, outside issues. Now, a pandemic hits, you know, rates jump or drop significantly or something like that. Okay, sure. Those are more kind of global perspective things that, yes, we need to move with. But, you know, there's so much small, minor stuff that, kind of like you said, and, oh, let's get more loans, or, oh, let's, you know, seek more deposit accounts or something. Well, why, you know, that may not necessarily be the strategy for this year, or we're derivating from the strategy and we're not coming back to it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we were talking, you know, we're talking about like the huge sea change in the market over the last couple of years from everything is about refinancing. And now it's all about gathering deposits. And that, you know, take a step back. That happens every couple of years. There's a shift back and forth, right? Maybe the loan, the amount that the percentage, interest rate percentage has changed is, you know, historic. But like, you know, the shift back and forth from loan to deposit is not. And so you can kind of plan around it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it took a while for that, the trend to come out. But, you know, you should be thinking from the brand perspective of like, why, you know, if you're thinking, listening to all the stuff that we spout on this podcast, you should be thinking about like, you know, we offer the same deposit and loan products as everyone else. So why does somebody come here? What's the problem that we're uniquely solving for our customers? And that doesn't change, right? Maybe your ad sort of changes from deposit to loan, but like the underlying message of why to choose you doesn't. And that's your strategy. You know, that's what you need to be kind of focused on and proactive about. And, you know, part of, we'll talk about layers of marketing or different approaches to it, but like the base stuff doesn't change.
Yeah. You made a great comment to me earlier, Dan, while we were preparing for this. And it's the reminder that banking is a slow sales cycle. You know, many, many, many moons ago and a big chunk of our career before, I had a large retail store, you know, and we slid rain gear up by the front door when it was raining outside and we would sell the crap out of it, you know, and, you know, or once it started getting warm outside, you know, we better have all the winter gear sold.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to live
in New York and if anyone's been there, you know, a couple drops of rainfall out of the sky and all the street vendors suddenly have $25 umbrellas.
Exactly. There you go. Yep. And that is not banking. Banking is a slow sales cycle. People don't impulsively wake up on a Friday morning and go, you know what? I think I'm going to move all my checking products over to the other bank down the street just because it's a Friday morning. That's not how it works. It's a slow sales cycle that is, fortunately for community banks, Dan, there's so much opportunity there that it is about relationship, that it is about, you know, brand. It is about all of those things that will influence a decision, but it's not an impulsive something. So being responsive and reactive to, you know, kind of the issue of the week in your marketing is why that's such a bad idea, because it's really not going to have a whole lot of consequence, you know? I saw that ad. I'll just move my mortgage over there. That's not how it works in bank marketing, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you about this, but before we started, you gave a great example of a bank client of yours that will, within a campaign set, will fluctuate to what it needs to, but doesn't derivate from the brand strategy. Do you mind talking about that?
No, and we talk a lot here about storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. And problem language. Like, what's the customer problem you're solving, not the product you're offering them? You know, so I think the way I think about it is the, you know, campaign should kind of be layered, and you have this base layer that's your brand awareness, that's your storytelling, that's, you know, a YouTube video, you know, telling the story of the bank, the things that the bank has done to help the community. You're not even talking about products at all. You're saying, here's what we stand for. Here's what our purpose is. Here's talk about some local people you've helped, the family who you helped get into home, but you're not talking about, we have flexible approval terms and, you know, low closing costs. You're talking about the family's happiness, mm-hmm. because that's ultimately what people are looking for. And so you want people to think about you as the bank that will help make your family happy, not the bank that will give you a loan, right?
Because of relatability and solution.
Yeah. You're solving a problem that they have. And maybe, yes, that problem is solved with your local decision-making, but like that's not, people aren't looking for local decision-making. People are looking for what local decision-making provides them, right? So
very well said.
That base layer of that story should not change, right? And because you can tell those stories about deposit products or loan products or any wealth management product, whatever you have, it should all tie back to that purpose of your bank. And that layer of your punctuated that I was looking for it when we were prepping. But you could punctuate that with campaign, you know, a more specific product campaign that may change a little bit more often. And that product campaign is, okay, here's our CDE rates. But, you know, you're the tagline that tells that purpose and that story is still there. And when you click through the landing page on your CD rates, it's telling the story and saying, yeah, we're offering CDs and maybe you're a price shopper, but that, you know, that story can make the difference in you know, small, make up the difference in interest rate and stuff like that. So it's, I think even if it, over the next couple months, there's a big change in the you know, economic environment and you know, the people, banks start shifting back from deposits to a more, you know, mixed approach, your brand strategy doesn't change. That stuff, you know, will stay the same. And on top of that, the, you know, the individual ads, right, may shift, but you can also kind of plan, like, it's going to be deposits, it's going to be loans, it's going to be CDs, you know, the set of things you might go out and advertise for. So you can plan for those and sort of puppeteer them, you know, as needed over time.
That's great stuff. Dan, another issue that you and I have seen a lot and recognize as well is kind of is using stale marketing methods, again, because you didn't plan well or you weren't allowed to plan well ahead or whatever the case may be, right? Or something's dictated by leadership. But, you know, just because you've advertised in that magazine for 10 years or whatever the case may be, and it kind of rolls around, oh, we got to get them that June ad, and you just do that again.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, way ahead of time, what's the big picture outcome set of goals here? And what methods are and platforms do we need to use to get that? So an example, and going back a couple of episodes of ours, Dan, you know, and talking about speaking to millennials and Gen Zs and messaging correctly to them. And I've actually seen community banks that say, yes, we want to do that. And they're running print ads to try to reach, you know, and I'm going, what, you know, well, we just need to update the messaging and have younger people in the print ad. I'm going, wait, you're missing the whole point. You're not on a marketing platform or method that's going to speak to them in the first place. And if that wasn't well planned, you know, and really part of a strategy, then again, we're being reactive and we're missing the point.
Yeah, I think it's just like, right, listening to your customers, right? What customers want out of their bank does not, you know, changes probably generationally, but doesn't change all that often, at least within a generation. Obviously, like younger generations want more digital services, or I don't want to call my bank. I'm never going to go in, but I want, you know, I don't know, fee-free ATM access or something. But like those things don't change, right? So you want to, it goes back to the problem statement, right? You want to align your methods and your platforms with who it is you're trying to attract to the bank. And, you know, in the case of the newspaper ads, like it may still make sense to do them, right? Especially for banks, like worked with a bank that who's the county newspaper, like shares a building with the bank. And you want to support it, but I treat it as a sponsorship or treat it as like, well, look, let's think about who reads the paper.
Yes.
Right. It might not be Gen Z, right? It might be your long time customers who you don't want to alienate. So, you know, use that space for an advertorial, right?
Yeah.
Financial education about preparing for retirement or managing your money in retirement, something like that versus, you know, first time home buyer ads, or things like that. So you know, match that message. So if you're gonna use that stale method, you know, make it not stale.
and the stale messaging,
the problems of the people reading it.
Yeah. What you were just describing too is also the stale messaging. So it's both.
Yeah.
You know, and those things are cohesive and important. And I don't know, I wonder how many times I've heard, we've used this tagline forever and we're tired of it. And, you know, hearing bank leadership, you know, we're tired of it. We know that it doesn't speak. Well, we need to get a running start at that then. And let's look at brand messaging.
Yeah.
And updating that and what it needs to be. And then let's carry that out over the next year, 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, what, and that's proactively planned.
No, I think it's not. It's right. And proactive planning doesn't, and updating stale marketing methods doesn't mean abandoning stuff, right? It can be that you keep that newspaper going and you modify it to speak to, you modify the message to speak to the people reading the newspaper. And then, like, we were talking about layers a second ago, you layer it with, try some digital, but the digital speaks to a slightly different audience, right? Yep. Or even if, you know, your longtime customers, everybody uses Google, but, like, you know, you're in a different mental state when you're using Google than when you're reading the paper. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not probably not in a state reading the paper thinking, oh yeah, that reminds me, I'm putting down the paper and logging in and rebalancing my IRA.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're Googling how to rebalance my IRA, you're in that mode. And, you know, and people may take different actions. It's just, it's adding more layers. It's, you know, adopting those things for what the, you know, what the mindset people are in when they're doing it, rather than just, it's not, you hear a lot of like, well, we're moving fully away from newspaper to do digital, but it doesn't have to be black or white.
Mm, yeah. Well, one other key issue here that I wanted to touch on, Dan, is largely about what too often is the disconnect between marketing and the overall strategy for the bank. And again, we keep talking about reactive versus proactive. But those two things should marry up very well. I know your agency, for example, Dan, you know, some of what you guys do is this, it is the big picture marketing strategic plan, you know, and that starts with the information about the SWOT analysis and the 3-year strategic plan of the bank and all those other kind of things. And then it begins to flow from there into a strategic plan that then starts to dictate the smaller steps, meaning which platforms and, you know, when the creative needs to be updated and you know, all of those things. So it's that early adopter process of getting the marketing strategies married up with the strategy of the bank. And that may sound like duh, but I'm amazed at how often that is really not the case. And then marketing directors are kind of going, well, I'm not getting listened to. I'm not getting the traction that I want in speaking to my own budget levels and all these other kind of things. Or there are lots of issues there. But sometimes maybe that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that the leadership and strategic direction of the bank, you know, should be extremely cohesive with the marketing, and that has to be pre-planned for that to happen. Again, it's not derivating from the big picture.
Yeah, I mean, marketing, the first job of marketing, right, is to help make the bank's strategic goals come true, and you know, if your marketing is not aligned to those strategic goals, like, you know, what is it really, you know, how do you justify the spend that you're making? How do you justify the time that you're spending on it? And, you know, so I think a lot of banks, I mean, not just banks, this is like every kind of company can end up in that position where it's like, yeah, well, we need to run ads. We need to be out in the marketplace. That's how we attract. But if it's not, you know, if it's not aligned with the strategy of the bank, at some point it's, you know, it's going to be forgotten about. It's going to be, your budget is going to be impacted. So, you know, most banks have some kind of business plan, right? That talks about the opportunities in the market. And those business plans are usually written in, say, banker language. And I don't mean any offense by that, but they talk about, you know, there's lots of acronyms and they talk about, you know, things in financial terms and product propensities and, you know, where the underbanked and overbanked areas are, but that can translate into a marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, you know, you can say, well, we're doing really well with this group, but we need to, you know, attract this other group, attract the millennials and Gen Z, or we need to move into this other geographic area, or, you know, the bank just opened a new branch and here's the goals of the new branch for the first year. How can we as a marketing team help do those things?
Yeah. Well, and I think our listeners, Dan, are probably getting a lot of, you know, kind of nodding heads and relatability about, yeah, these are issues and just things that are, again, major challenges related to our marketing that so many folks can identify with, regardless of asset size. you know, a lot of these same issues are true for $6 billion banks and $200 million banks and everybody in between. And that's just part of the challenge as marketers. So let's kind of flip the paper over here and talk a bit more about some of the specific solutions. And, you know, what's going to get us out of being so reactive and more into proactive? And what does that look like? Some of the tangibles. And the big obvious one there, Dan, again, is a planning process.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Can't plan without a planning process.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about what that looks like, feels like. What are some of the components of that process?
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be interesting, you know, our perspective and what we do is slightly different, right? So I think it'd be interesting to talk about both, right? My projects tend to focus on, you just said, the SWOT analysis, the big kind of 3-year plan. Mm-hmm. What are the broad brush strokes, right, we're going to take? If you've never done marketing, right, do we need to boost up your brand and do a website and, you know, spin things up slowly? If you're deep in it, but something's not working, like, what is that thing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do we test and fix and update? So then yours are, you know, you have a lot of ongoing, right, things, and you're always tweaking and making improvements and, you know, planning themes and planning focus areas and things like that. But so I think they planning can take a lot of different forms. Ultimately, you probably need all of that stuff. But for us, we're just kind of taking an assessment of everything the bank is doing and comparing it to other banks, right? And that's part from our experience. But you know, if you haven't worked at other banks, you can still learn a lot from Googling, right? You can go out and Google bank near me. Mm-hmm. And what are the top, you know, that's, you're taking the customer perspective, right? That's ultimately what you need to be doing, is getting the customer's shoes. Go look at the top, you know, 5 links that show up on different Google searches, mm-hmm. search for specific products, search for things. Look at your branches. If one's at a, you know, close to a big metro area, the competitors that show up in Google may be different. But look at them, you know, look at them. You'll find that, you know, by looking at a bunch of different homepages of different banks, you'll see how they're talking about the bank. And, you know, you can kind of see, do they say trusted and local, or do they say, is it a problem? Do they have a customer testimonial there? How is the brand coming across? So that's usually the first step in our planning process, right? Is just that assessment and seeing, trying to get a sense of how your bank is perceived versus yeah. others. And then the other pieces usually fall out pretty quickly, right? Do we need to, how do we boost our digital presence? Do we need some SEO?
Yeah.
Should we run, you know, is everybody else, are our top competitors running Google ads? Mm-hmm. Do they have a YouTube presence? Do they have a big Facebook following? It can get down to the physical stuff too, of what does our competitors' physical signage look like? Mm. Do we look stodgy in comparison? So it's a lot of, you know, we start with a lot of those comparisons. And then once we do that, we kind of say, well, how do we fill these gaps? Or like, which gaps do we want to fill? Who are we trying to attract? Mm-hmm. Right? You think about, who do we serve uniquely best? What do we do that's different? Right? So we were talking earlier about, it's not, you know, customers don't care about the local decision-making. You probably do that as a community bank, but why does that matter for your customers?
Yeah. What's the outcome?
Yeah.
How does it impact them?
Mm-hmm. Who are your best customers? It's not everybody, right? You're not going to turn away business. You know, I said to somebody the other day, we're 90%, you know, 90% of our business is banks, right? But if I get a referral to a insurance company or somebody tangentially related that I think we can help, we're going to work with them. Yep. It's just that we know how to serve banks uniquely well. And the same thing's probably true for you, is, hey, we have a much more affordable closing cost, or we have lower rates than our competitors. So like, great, but that's not your ad. That's, you know, informs you who you serve well. Yeah. So there's like the comparison part of our plans. There's the customer, who are we serving kind of part. And then, you know, and then the last part is just the, how do we fill that? How do we reach more of those customers? Mm-hmm. Where do they live? Where do they live literally? But yeah. Where do they also live on digital? Where do they spend their time? Where are they in the mindset of, you know, banking needs, and how do we get in front of them there?
Yeah.
And then it kind of comes to you.
Yeah. Right. I was going to say, and then our team is so much about the implementation, you know, and everything that falls under that umbrella. But that starts with some of that key planning process stuff and under these solutions, like having brand standards sets in your documents that everything you do, even if you're running a high school, you know, sports guide ad, you know, it, everything meets those brand standards so that everywhere that you're seen, felt, touched, heard is consistent. And then the brand messaging processes that we do. So that brand voice is solidified and streamlined into a set of kind of the elevator speech, the tagline, the entire process there that speaks who you are. So it takes that analysis, Dan, that you were talking about, and really the implementation of that is something that the entire team goes by and certainly all your marketing goes by. And then our part of the strategy largely under the implementation is how is that marched out? You know, in, you know, we create content, create, monitor, et cetera, content for your social channels or SEO or digital ad implementation and targeting and reporting and all of those things and ad design and all of the things that fall under that implementation umbrella that is proactively planned and done well. It's kind of, you and I talked about this as that master marketing plan, you know, regardless of bank size, from that analysis and strategy and through implementation, and boom, the needle moves.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's having with anything. It's coming up with, like, you know, a lot. Most of the stuff can be planned in advance. Right. There's always going to be little market forces or little things. You know, let's take like social media. You can probably plan 80 or 90% of your posts in advance. Mm-hmm. Right. And then during the month, you're going to have an event and you want to get a timely picture of it up. You know, something happens in town and the bank was at it and you can get a picture of that up. You can't plan that in advance, but it's maybe one out of 10 posts for the month.
Yeah.
Right. I'm generalizing a lot here, but like,
no, but that's exactly what our social media team does with, you know, with our bank clients is exactly that. And Dan, one of the key things that that does, and you and I touched on it earlier in the episode here too, is that leaves ample time for creative because if it's planned in advance, man, we can really work on getting just the right imaging and taking that brand story and you know, and that, that translates into fonts and feel and how these different things look in your copy content and your imaging and all that on every channel. And, you know, that's done well when done in advance and given ample time for creative. And if it's last minute, guess what you're going to do? You're going to grab the last ad out of the hopper, you know, or the one from last year or whatever the case may be and just repeat it or just resize it and throw it out because I don't have time.
Right. Well, and I think the same 90-10 or 80-20, whatever we call it, that same kind of split happens most stuff in marketing, right? Like your brand messaging can be planned far in advance, right? Like the ad that you're running the third week of August, maybe not, but the messaging can be planned in advance. You know, that, so, you know, I think you're, I like to think budget. We haven't talked about budget, but. But even that, you know, a lot of banks, one of our recommendations is you're like, leave 10% of your budget open, right? Mm. For opportunities that come up throughout the year, you're going to have a competitor close a branch sometime this year, right? And spin up a Google ad, you know, or put some extra budget into Google to capture people looking because their bank just closed or got acquired. You can't plan, I mean, you can plan ahead for that in the sense of, what do we say if the, you know, what's our message if a competitor gets acquired? But, you know, you're not going to know the details until it actually happens. But if you, you know, if you don't have the budget, you can't take action on it. But again, I think that with anything we're talking about in marketing, a lot of it can be planned in advance. And then you have a process to drive the rest. You have a process to collect pictures on social. You have a process that happens when a competitor closes, that type of stuff.
There you go. Dan, I know one of the other key solutions that we wanted to be sure to cover today really has to do with your entire team having knowledge of and buying into marketing. And that's a big deal. I'll share a quick story with one of our most significant and favorite clients of ours. We just did a brand messaging process for. And what was really fascinating about that entire study and the outcomes of that and new tagline and directions and content directions and everything else, they said to us, yes, that is correct. That is our brand direction and where we're going. Okay. And we had leadership and board members, and this was all the major stakeholders. And they said, yes. And they also said, and however, that's not where we are today. And what do we do about that? And the answer to that was use this and get buy-in from your team. You know, incorporate mm-hmm. this into trainings from tellers and CSRs and loan officers and everybody else, all the way up to all of your C-suite and your board and everybody else, is take this proactively planned. This was specific to a brand messaging, you know, but get buy-in from the entire team and incorporate it. And it, and now they're saying to us, this influences how we're doing training. This influences how we're teaching our CSRs to communicate with customers. This is impacting how we're trying to streamline paperwork, you know, and make things electronic, right. You know, better for the customer experience, because we need to shift how we're doing things to make sure that we're matching that brand direction, that brand messaging. And I'm like, now that's really cool. That's how, you know, the messaging is actually determining the direction of how things are done in the bank. And, yeah. You know, so, but again, man, if we had not, I mean, we did that last fall in planning for what is going to be happening through Q2, Q3, Q4 of this year. And you can't do that being reactive. That doesn't exist in a vacuum of, oh, we got to just do this marketing right now. What's our tagline? That doesn't happen that way.
Right. Yeah. I think just, you know, I've been asked before, like, why, you know, why do we need to document this? Or, you know, it's our logo. And, you know, you always get, when a lot of people start using it, right, you get people that change colors and stretch the logo out and do all these things. Documenting it, not just the logo, but all the things you were just talking about, documenting that messaging and that direction, and it creates buy-in, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to have everybody print the document out and stick it up on the wall, but like sharing that plan and presenting it to the team gets people excited. It gets people mm-hmm. knowing where they're going. And even beyond marketing, I'm gonna put myself on the spot, but I read an article recently that just talks about the importance of setting that vision. But there were some statistics in there about just like the success of companies that, you know, employees were all bought into the shared vision. And I think, you know, companies can be more successful. Everybody knows where the ship is going. You're gonna do things subconsciously and consciously to help the ship get there. So even if you're sharing, let's say you're sharing the brand messaging with, you know, tellers or back office people that are never going to touch marketing, and at some point they're going to interact with friends and family and customers, and knowing where the brand is going, knowing where the bank is going, is going to help drive those conversations in different ways. And so, you know, getting that buy-in across the bank is super important, and you can't do it without having the plan done.
There you go. Yeah. The front end work, Dan, also creates, it avoids the, oh, we're trying to figure out what to say in this campaign. Because yeah. you'd already planned it, you know, and it was all, so you're, you know, you're going back to that resource that's giving direction 6 months, a year, multiple years into the future, and avoids what we're going to talk about in one of our other major challenge series episodes tier two, is the being so scattered.
Yeah.
You know, and specific solutions about how to avoid that, which we all face to one extent or another. And this avoidance of being reactive does so much of that. So
yeah.
Great stuff, Dan. Really great stuff.
Likewise. I think we planned some of this out. We went a bit deeper. So this is great.
That's right. So look at there. We actually had a strategic plan and we're sticking to the direction.
We planned 90% of it, and then we filled it in with the other 10, and it hopefully went pretty well for everybody listening too.
So. Amen. That's right. Love it. Yeah. Well, great, Dan. Well, I know we like to tag our episodes here and invite folks to reach out to either one of us, and maybe from this one in particular, We discussed that, you know, Dan's agency is so focused on strategy and planning direction and all of that. And my agency is very much about implementation and all of those kind of things. So if you're curious about what that can look like for you, or, just want to bounce some ideas by either one of us, or, hey, how do you see some of your other bank clients doing this? We invite you to reach out to us. And through the website at bankmarketingshow.com, really easy to connect with us there and jump in for some of those discussions. We love doing that because we like pouring into the people in this industry and helping to raise the tide. So,
yep. Yeah,
good stuff, man.
Yeah, love to hear from any of you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot. Look forward to it next time.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks.
Hey, Chris.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts and join us next time.